For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream Hot Water Heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Oh boy, it's Sunday afternoon. The Sunday Rub. Jay-Z is here. Wayne Swass is here. On Triple M Football, myself, Brian Taylor, of course. We're not calling the footy today because it is a 1:10 start today.
Which would explain why you're up. We've got two hours of radio and then we are done.
I'm always happy to call the footy.
What are you doing, Brian, after this? Is that out to the farm?
I'm going to mow the lawn because I showed the wife how to start the lawnmower this morning.
Tanya.
And that didn't go well. I said, help yourself to the petrol and put in the engine.
Do you do anything out on the farm?
Pull this cord and turn that knob on, and it'll activate the blades, which will go in a whirly-whirly motion, and just push until I get home.
Surely you've got the ride on. You know, big,
we have
big
that
property.
Ride on, so I also briefed the son on the ride on, not to break it. So that's all that's happening for me this afternoon. But a big round of footy to cap off round 19, of course.
Yep.
Plenty more games to come, so we're looking forward to that. But we've had some great results so far. And, of course, North Melbourne doing the job last night, which was absolutely fantastic. I guess the one standout result from yesterday was the absolute disaster that Richmond was.
And the domination that GWS were, BT. Yeah. That was an unbelievable performance. Three goals in a game of footy. An 88-point win. They're second on the ladder. It's a great story for the AFL, Jay-Z, the Giants.
It is the Giants. And if they got to the grand final stage, I think as a journalist, I would love that. I mean, what a story. It's 6 years in, all new faces on the big stage. How are they going to go? They're going to be overawed. You know, do we care? Does the footy public care if they win? Do they want them to win? It's all these sorts of questions. But you know what? The back page of the Herald Sun will be tomorrow, Brian.
What?
Well, it'll be Punt Road. It'll be Richmond. They're the big story. Lowest score since 1961, I just heard you say. Damien Hardwick, 153 games, no finals. And I reckon they put up the flag yesterday, the Tigers. The white flag.
It did appear that
up.
Way. It did appear that the players had switched off and that attitudes had changed. Now, that can sometimes happen when you know you can't make the eight anymore. And players, that's a huge motivating thing for the players.
We're professional footballers, Brian.
Yeah, but there's a thing in your brain that says we can still get the ultimate or we can't. And that, I'm not saying that drops you by, I'm saying it just takes
30%?
Your focus off the ball. Look, 30, 20, 15, whatever it is, it definitely has an effect on your mindset when you can't make finals.
Yeah, I don't like that though, BT, if that's actually the case with regards to what the players did, because Richmond have a large number of players out of contract and you've only got a handful of games left. And I tell you what, as a former player, you would be doing everything within your power right now, but BT, to make sure you were getting another contract.
Ah, you're right. Then there you go. You've hit the nail right on the head. But you see, that's an individual thing. I need another contract.
And absolutely. So it's their career, Brian.
So you go out and play.
So you could be playing yourself out of a contract.
So you go out there and play accordingly. You play as an individual. You do things perhaps you wouldn't normally do. And my thing with a team competing for a grand final spot or a finals berth, all these little things are automatic. The automatic give. The camaraderie is tight. When you're out of finals contention, yes, you're still playing as a professional, as you've already put, Jay-Z. Yes, you're still playing for contracts, but you're not playing as a team together that would play in the final swatter.
Mm.
You cannot argue with that, mate.
Oh, no, I'm going to, though, because I think that coaches are smart enough to understand when a player is playing selfishly for themselves, Brian, as opposed to doing all of the things
little thing. You
that they need
it.
To be doing in order to contribute to the team, irrespective of the result. Because right now, whether or not we think Damien Hardwick is the right man, the club will be making decisions on which players are the right players to carry them forward.
And that's a very good call. You know what stands out to me, fellas? And you tell me if this is being harsh, because you're wise and footy men, but Trent Cotchin, the captain, had no tackles yesterday. Is that being harsh?
Well, how did he play? What did I didn't see all of the game. I saw about three quarters of it.
Well, he's always up against it because he gets a very good player in 21 possessions, and everyone looks to him. And he's had a pretty good year. I think he's probably had
not having a tackle in what is very much at the moment a tackling game.
Well, you just talked about the selflessness.
You know, when I look at St Kilda last night and I see that their whole game is based around, they didn't have a great one last night because North Melbourne were just a better team. The whole game is based around tackling and pressure, and the modern game is based around that.
Hey, and we called the game last night, or yesterday afternoon, Collingwood's demolition of their opponents yesterday, West Coast Eagles, and Collingwood won't make finals, but guess what? Record number of tackles in the history of the club. They were ferocious yesterday. That's not really about skill. That's about mindset, attitude, the level of willingness of each of the players to do what's required. So Really disappointing for Richmond yesterday. Really disappointing. When you stack it up against what Collingwood had to play for, nothing but pride, wanting to upset the finals preparation of a couple of good teams. Collingwood's effort yesterday was outstanding.
Mm. See, for me with the Tigers, the difference between good and bad, not as a team, but as an individual. So you can see Rance yesterday trying his guts out.
As he always does.
Leading from the front and just setting a ripping example. And, you know, I don't want to isolate other players that didn't play so well, but there is a huge discrepancy between what Rance is trying to do and what the player that's, you know, not absolutely full on in the team having a crack at the moment. The CEO, Brendan Gale, joins us online now. Benny, appreciate your time. What did you make of it all yesterday?
Not much, Brian. No, it wasn't much of a game. It was you know, a very poor start to the game. You know, obviously playing a lot of young kids, but you know, we want to see effort and intensity, and it was lacking. And having said that, the Giants were a very, very good team, and they really are coming of age, and they've had some very big wins this year, and particularly on that track as well. It's a very quick track, but it was a very orderly performance.
Benny, go back a couple of weeks, though. Those same kids, or a lot of those kids, were part of a team that really pushed the Western Bulldogs. I think you went down by 10 points.
Yeah, that's right, mate. And we see glimpses, you know, throughout the entire year. We've seen glimpses, and, you know, Rioli and, you know, Menadue, and, you know, Corey Ellis is obviously injured, but Castagna we saw against the Bulldogs, and Jaden Short, but you know, as with most young talent, they really lack the ability to maintain a level over the course of a game a week. So
you're
not quite there yet.
You're expecting to see more than glimpses, though, at this stage, Brennan, with, you know, the amount of years that Dim has been able to put into this team and build it up?
I was remarking on the young players.
Yeah, okay.
But we expect to be better, BT. We expect to. I mean, we've played finals the last 3 years. We went to this season expecting to be building on what we've done and you know, going one step further at least. And clearly we haven't. So it's extremely disappointing. But trying to understand that in itself is complex. We're very disappointed.
The focus will come on two areas, the recruiting and the coaching. Now, Brendan, I'm sure you're prepared for that. Are you absolutely backing in Coach Damien Hardwick for next season?
Oh, yeah. No, Damien will coach next year. And he's been a strong coach for our footy club and will continue to be. And this has been a very, very challenging year. And it's one, I mentioned, we're disappointed. We don't accept it, but we need to understand why, and we're going through that process. And I think Damien, myself, I guess all the people at the club will learn from, you know, what we've done, what we can do better, and I think it'll be better for it. But he'll be coaching next year.
What about the support structure? Every second day there's a story about Richmond cleaning out its assistant coaches. Can you clear that up for us? Are you looking to make significant changes there? We're speaking to Mark Brayshaw soon.
Well, when we're trying to... I guess I want to assure our members that we're not just sitting on our hands doing nothing. We're asking a lot of questions of ourselves and our entire football programming club and what we can do better. As I said before, performance is very, very complex. And it's not as easy as just looking with a valley of hindsight at recruiting a list manager or our coach. It's a whole range of interrelating factors. And we'll, you know, when the opportunity arises, if and when appropriate, we'll be sharing that information.
Hey, Benny, I love the fact that you're categorically in support of Dimmer. But from the outside looking in, what is it that you're, or from the inside, what you see on a daily basis, what you see with regards to the way that he interacts with the playing group, support staff and everybody involved with the footy club? Because from the outside looking in, the results haven't been there this year, obviously. Finals have made finals but haven't won a final under Damien. And also the development and recruitment. So what are the key characteristics that gives you absolute confidence that Dimmer is the right man moving forward?
Well, I think the first thing, Ashwater, is the connection with the playing group. I think you need to have a really strong connection and trust. And I think he's got that. The players, I know they respect and trust him, and he's there for his players and he backs them up. I think that's the first thing. And once that's broken, that's real challenging. So that's fair. But obviously we're not playing well. So I mean, that's a consequence of a number of factors. You know, we've blooded a lot of young guys all at once, and we've lacked cohesion at times. We play a very structured system of football, It's probably a result of also just having a lack of depth. So when we are exposed, no more than the other club, we look pretty vulnerable. There's a couple of factors just there.
Ben, I know it's a competitive industry footy, obviously, but the decision to appoint Damien Hardwick till the end of 2018 has been a contentious one.
Yep.
Can you explain why that was the case and you still stand by that call?
Well, I do, and we made the case because basically we believe Damien's a good coach who will continue to get better. And he's got the personal attributes over the last 3 years in particular, benchmarked against other similar coaches. It's win-loss ratio is very strong. Admittedly, we haven't got it done in finals. But once again, there's a whole range of factors that explain that as well. So, with his personal qualities, attributes, we think we'll continue to get better. And the reason we decided to extend the contract was to give him the strength and the confidence to go about, improving this team into the future. Now, clearly that hasn't happened, and people are entitled to question the wisdom of that. I understand that's the way things work.
So, Brendan, tick off the coach, done. You're going to go forward with him. Great news. Really great support that you're showing for him is fantastic. So what is the area then? If you tick off that, you tick off the players in terms of their commitment and want and love of the club and what Dimmer wants them to do, so then it must hone down to another area. Is it recruiting?
Yeah, well, as I said, I'm not enthusiastic about sharing that now in the media, but clearly we're looking at everything. And the various parts of the footy department that go to performance, and we're looking at all those drivers and to what extent they contribute to our performance, good, bad, otherwise. And we'll, at an appropriate time, we'll share those outcomes. Now's not the time.
Is it right, Brendan, that you're going to put significantly more money into your recruiting department, bolster your recruiting spend?
As I said, there'll be a time and a place. I don't want to bore you, but I'm not in a position to revealing the internal machinations of our thought process.
Just lastly, sorry, on Brendan, the recruiting. Are you happy with the way the club has recruited?
Well, I think like other clubs, we've come through a really, really difficult period to get access to top end talent with expansion teams and compromised drafts. And, I think if you look at our first round picks, they've been generally, reasonably strong. Our picks 2, 3, 4, we've had some hits and we've had some misses with some real wins. But so a lot of clubs. Can it be better? Well, of course it can be better. But everything can be better with hindsight. Clearly that's an area we'll be looking as well.
Hey, Benny, one more. And appreciate your sort of candid responses and the difficulties also, given the fact the season's still going to play out. Has the club been guilty of perhaps overrating its list in the last couple of years, given the fact that you've made finals but haven't been able to go on and win one?
I don't think so, Schwatter. No, we've turned over 41% of our list in the last 2 years. We not winning finals. We realised that, we had to change. And if we keep, going with the same program, we'll get the same results. So we've brought in, the last, two drafts, players like, Menadue and Corey Ellis and Nathan Drummond and Daniel Rioli and a couple of rookies and Jaden Short. And we brought those in. But unfortunately, the contribution you get from them is inconsistent. We believe they're going to be good players, but they're going to take a bit of time. The fact we've turned over at least 41% in 2 years would suggest that, no, we're not satisfied with our list. We need to continue to evolve it and improve it.
Appreciate your time, Brennan. I'd probably go and spend the rest of the day with the dog, mate. He won't ask these questions. He won't ask anything.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Good on you, mate.
Brendan Gale, the CEO of the Richmond Football Club, there joining us. Today, you asked me what I'll be doing before. I'm going to be planting some trees today. Today is National Tree Day. I'm not sure whether you're aware of that, Swatter. Tree Day is Australia's largest land care and nature event.
Yep.
Toyota has sponsored this event for National Tree Day for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
More than 23 million trees have been planted as part of National Tree Day through schools and the whole process. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Toyota and National Tree Day.
Just out of interest, what are you going to put into the ground? Some pitostrums or what are you going to run with?
No, I'm going to go with the natural indigenous plants.
So nice. What are they?
Gum trees. Okay, a couple of gummies will be going in at my place today. So,
Tanya's got a busy day ahead, hasn't she?
Removing the pine trees.
Are you going to swing by Ducks and plant a couple of his as well?
Probably not. Let's go around the grounds, Jay-Z. What have we got?
It's the Suns. They're up by 2 goals. They've stunned the Demons early. It's 13-1,
that's
8 minutes in.
Jay-Z,
I thought Melbourne. I chalked the Demons in. That they would win this by 50 points, but the Suns have started brightly.
Gold Coast have gained momentum over the last month, winning three of their last four games.
They've been better, started to get some of their better players back.
I would expect if they can beat St Kilda, Fremantle and Brisbane, they are a genuine chance against Melbourne as well, because I put Melbourne in that class.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people saying they've improved a lot. They haven't improved that much.
Well, I think they've only beaten... Is one of their wins against the top eight team?
Who's that, Melbourne?
Melbourne?
Or?
Have they beaten a top eight team this year?
Well, they beat GWS in round one. Okay. It was round one before we knew how good they were. Then they've beaten, let me have a quick look here, Collingwood, Freeman. No, they haven't beaten another top contender.
They've been okay.
Mm.
Yep.
Hey, North Melbourne last night, guys. I was at the game. Great game of pressure footy. St Kilda, you know, stuck to their structure and were certainly in the game up until... You know, the final quarter, but North did the job.
Yeah, I never felt like St Kilda were really in it. I always felt that North Melbourne had the...
So 6 points at quarter time, 12 points at half time, and I think 12 points at three quarter time. You didn't feel like they had a chance.
It just always seemed the game that was in North Melbourne's keeping for mine. I just sort of thought they always sort of had control and would always sort of kick on. But let's be honest, this was the boomer game.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I love more than anything? I love two things. The Thomas... pass to Boomer, the little cheap hand pass to give him that free kick. But the other thing was the pregame where Boomer's warming up. He's got the comms direct link to you guys. You know, he's wearing the long sleeve jumper and he's talking about the game.
Great, right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was
puffing and
busting to go to the toilet at the time and do a wee, but I could not go away from the TV because I wanted to hear every word he was saying. About that, and I just thought, hats off to you, Brian, because that was almost the whole lot of the game for
me. You normally have a good read and a good feel for the pre-game theatrics. How do you think the Kangaroos handled it in the lead-up to such a big event last night for Boomer?
You mean just the game day?
Yeah, all of that stuff. All of the stuff on the outside of the game. I mean, the game's obviously, the promotion of it, how they've handled the milestone game for Boomer, how they made access to Boomer.
On the day, I thought they got it right. On the day, I thought there was no question. Perhaps in the lead up to it, you know, I think the one thing that they would reorganise if they had the opportunity is the launch of Boomer's book. I think, not that he said anything wrong in the book, but I think the timing of the release of that book, if I were Brad Scott and the coaching staff there, I would have been concerned about the timing of that.
Why would you, if you were Brad Scott, why would you think like that?
Because I just think it has the potential, and it didn't, but it has the potential to derail something, especially when you get, you know, Wayne Carey involved last week as they did, the story about tanking this week. If there wasn't much else around in footy, that could have really taken off like a wild bushfire as well. Mm. Lucky for him, he didn't. So it was just more the timing of the thing. Could it have been done at a different time? I don't know what constraints they're up against with regards to timing. Could it have been launched 4 weeks earlier or 4 weeks later? I'm not sure. I don't know what.
Usually it's after players have retired, isn't it? Mm. That's the norm. Otherwise, you make your book vanilla so you don't offend anyone
while
you're still
playing. He might not retire,
though. He might, keep kicking on.
He might keep going on.
How do you think he handled the occasion, boys? Boomer.
On the night?
Does he thrive on that sort of stuff? Or?
I thought he did well.
He had a good game?
I'm not sure how I would handle that occasion, but I thought he did really well with it.
It's been a big week. It's been a massive build-up. Look, I think he had a reasonably solid game without being spectacular, but it's probably one of those things that, in a sense, he's probably glad it's over because there's been so much focus. Yeah. They got the win. That's the most important thing. He said that after the game with Lingy.
The team and the coaches would be wrapped it's over.
Yeah.
Bit of relief. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because they've got it out of the way before the finals, and I think they'd be very relieved now that there's no more milestones going between now and then. By the way, Boomer has won every one, including his first game, his 50th, his 100th, 150th, two, right through, including when he passed Glenn Archer's games record.
Yeah.
So he's had about, 10 or 12 of those milestone games. They have now, and he has won in every one of his milestone games.
What about the goal, Brian? So Lindsay Thomas has got the, was it a mark or a free kick? I can't remember. I think it might have been a mark. And it was 20 metres out directly in front. And then Boomer comes over, hands on his head as if he's gassed and he can't breathe. And he's just come over to tap Lindsay on the bum.
You don't,
then what happens?
Well, you don't approach a player unless you want something at that stage. And as Boomer was walking over, Lindsay was going, he's not going to. He's not going to ask me to give him the ball, is he? And then a little lift to the left eyebrow of Boomer. And Lindsay Thomas had to almost go into his brain and
compute.
And compute, is he really asking me to give him the footy? And Boomer's gone with a double eyebrow lifter and gone, yeah, I am. There were not many words spoken, but I tell you what, and Lindsay Thomas would have been going through his mind, if I don't give him the ball on this incredible night, could that further damage me in the PR stakes? And I think the answer would have been yes, because we might have been talking about that. So, Lindsay Thomas, you did the right thing. The game wasn't in the balance at the time. Yep. So even if it did come undone, it wouldn't have mattered. You did the right thing.
Of all the games he was going to give him a cheapie, that was the game to do it. Now, they got the win. They got the milestone. Great news. But Jared Waite's a concern, JZ, again.
Well, he's missed some time with his hip. They brought him back in. They thought he was okay. But as we saw by about the third quarter, I think it was, potentially even earlier.
It was early in the second quarter. It was.
But he kept playing, didn't he?
It might have been the end of the first. It was actually the end of the first quarter. So it raises the question for me, can they trust him?
Well, and you know what?
Going into a final.
I'm not sure they can now, because as Brad Scott explained in the press conference, he was absolutely fine, feeling cherry right before the game, and then half an hour later, he can't kick. You know, he's kicking in pain. So how do their medical staff know that he's going to be absolutely fine?
And I'll tell you when it was. It was the 11-minute mark of the first quarter when Waite kicked the goal, I think, was it?
And that's where he winced. Was that the one where he winced?
No, it might have been the start of the third quarter, the 4th-minute mark.
About then.
Goal. Yeah.
But how, Wayne Schwoss, how does Brad Scott come to be able to absolutely trust Jared Waite that he can play a full game of footy now? Because he's fallen off the face of the earth. Is it 3 weeks of training, 2 weeks of training?
He relies heavily on the advice of his medical team.
I don't think they know.
They have to know, because they're going to have to make a decision. I think the decision will come down to whether or not Jared Waite, 60, 70%, do we take the chance for him to come in and hopefully he gets through? Because otherwise, the other option, we're watching a live game on one of the screens here, VFL, and that is Magic Tor. Magic Tor is a good VFL player. Can take one or two nice big grabs, but he's not consistent, BT.
We're going to have to come back and cover this off, fellas. We need to get to a break. Time out. We've got John Longmire waiting for us over in Perth on the boundary line. So we'll come back and finish
this
North Melbourne.
Horse wait.
Pretty important game for Sydney over in Perth today, Swatter, isn't it?
Yeah, they can go to third if they win today, and they'll go above Geelong, but they're 8 percentage points behind the Giants in second place.
I don't know. Do you look at the ladder if you're a coach at this stage?
No,
you
don't look at a ladder if your name's John Longmire either.
You just keep
going
for
the
W.
Bounce, absolutely. Yep.
Johnny Longmire, I think, is joining us now from Subiaco Oval. John, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, boys.
Do you have a bit of a look at it?
Not really. Not really. I think Swatter's probably right.
I told
right.
you, Brian. Don't get him offside early. For God's sake.
There's enough to worry about without looking at the ladder.
Hey, Horse, we called the game last week. You managed to get the win, but it was less than impressive with all due respect. Carlton were really dogged, and perhaps if they had a forward inside their forward 50, the result may have been different. What do you do? What's the focus this week? Because I would imagine that it would be a real red-hot start to the opening quarter today.
Yeah, look, there was parts of the game that we needed to get better at last week, but there was parts that we were happy with. We've got a pretty young team, Swatter, and that gets lost a little bit. And, we're learning and developing and growing as well. So, there was a few things that we needed to get better in the first half, particularly in the pressure stakes. But our third quarter was pretty good, and we just got to be a bit more consistent over the whole course of the game.
You were there, your two first choice ruckmen, John, and you're looking to your two young guys in Naismith and in Nan Curvis. I think they played 12 games between them. How do you coach those two young guys? Because it's a massive role for two young kids.
Yeah, it is. It's a big job. We know that obviously Fremantle are going in with one, and You know, we discussed the conditions and the fact that Fremantle are going in with one today, but we have got two young ones, and it's a big job for one of them to do the task over the whole 120 minutes. And but you know, their form's been pretty solid. Naismith over the last few weeks, in particular, his centre bounce stuff's been really good, and Toby Nankervis, when he's come in, has really competed hard. So. You know, we're hopeful that those boys can do the job for us today.
Do you reckon they still get butterflies in their tummy, you know, before in their stomach before a big game like today, two young fellas?
Oh, absolutely. They wouldn't be human if they didn't. But I'd tip that Matty Pavlich has probably got butterflies in his stomach, and Boomer would have had last night. I mean, it doesn't matter how many games you've played or haven't played, you still get that feeling. And there's no doubt that those boys would. But I'm sure that everyone that running out in the ground does today as well.
Last five games coming up right now. You're about to play the fifth or the first of those in that five game streak. Where's your list at in terms of availability right now? I noticed Teddy Richards an emergency today. Benny McGlynn an emergency today. Have you got all your troops ready, or are there going to be a few missing?
Well, we think that over the next few weeks, hopefully that Tippett comes back in the equation. Callum Sinclair obviously had an operation during the week to get rid of some cartilage in his knee. You know, there's a few boys that we'd like to get back before the end of the season. Sam Reid we're still unsure of. But, you know, Benny McGlynn and Teddy Richards are up and going. They are emergencies today. They won't be playing today. But so we still think we've got a bit of depth there.
Hey, Horse, have you been surprised by the composure and maturity that Alir has shown in a handful of games? For a kid who's only just starting his career, he makes really good decisions.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he has been terrific in our reserves this year, and he's been in and out at the start of the year. But over the last few weeks, he's been able to cement his spot in the team. And he is a good decision maker. He'll get tested today on a variety of different opponents, and that'll be interesting to see how he goes. But he's very good with ball in hand, and he's very sure with his decision making. And that's a really good sign for a young kid. He's still got a lot to learn, obviously, as a key defender. It's being so young, but you know, he's started off really well.
John, how have you rated Buddy Franklin's year?
Pretty good, really. I mean, he's been consistent. He's every week, whether he's kicking goals or you know, providing opportunities for other players in our forward line, it's been a really high standard. He's been really consistent, so we're really happy with how he's been.
Haven't had the best of years, Fremantle, this year, Horse, but we've seen a number of times if you don't come out playing your A game, there's an opportunity for a team who's struggled to get the better of you. What's the focus with Fremantle today? What do you need to do really well to give yourself a good chance?
You need to pressure enormously around the ball, Swatter. You know you're going to get when you play a Ross Lyon coach team, and that's an enormous amount of pressure around the ball. They're very structured, they're very disciplined in what they do, and they've obviously got a lot to play for today with Pavlich. So there's a lot... you know, in regards to what they'll be faced with. But there's some really good opportunities for us today too to be able to come over here and put enormous pressure on around the ball to make sure that their midfielders don't give their forwards much opportunity.
While you're there, and we're not, John, we'll test out your weather skills. Just a quick...
Old Farmer Brian.
Yeah, well, give us the old rain gauge measurements for today over there.
It rained and was really windy and rough early this morning. Yeah. Terrible conditions. It's clearing up a little bit. There's still a bit of wind around. But they're saying it won't be wet this afternoon, but still a bit of wind.
Appreciate your time. Good luck today.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
Johnny Longmire, coach of the Sydney Swans, who, as Swatter says, in fourth position on the ladder at the moment, a chance to move up into...
Third. They'd have to win by plus 100 points today to get anywhere near the Giants at the moment, BT.
But are you guys less sure about the Swans in over the past month?
Nope.
Not at all?
They'll be all right.
No, I think as the real contenders drop away, and we'll talk about the Bulldogs later, I think they've dropped away as a premiership contender now. I think Sydney and Hawthorn, for me, just get more and more obvious.
You get Tippett back in the next couple of weeks, get a couple of games into him before the bye after the end of the home and away. They're in a reasonably good position. They've got Teddy Richards as a backup. They've got Callum Sinclair to come back as well.
Mm. Go back to where we were before the John Longmire interview. We're talking about last night's game. We just finished talking about Boomer and how well he'd handle things, and we're starting to get on to a couple of other little issues. We talked about Jared Waite. So just in conclusion of the Jared Waite discussion, can he be trusted going to the finals
with
injury?
It's a good question, BT.
Because sometimes the doctors can't have a definitive no, and they say to the player, your decision.
Yeah, well, that comes back to Jared Waite and him knowing his body better than anybody else. And if he honestly believes, BT, that he is good to go, then I think you back him in. Because with all due respect, as I said before, Jared Waite at 70-75% is probably a better option as opposed to a Majak Dawe. Yep. At 100%.
Drew Petrie looked very light on his feet last night. He was jumping Jack Drew Petrie, wasn't he?
It's good to see him back.
It was just about the biggest story. Yeah, other than Boomer, he was the big story for me because he was up there taking hangers. He's covering the ground well. He's got his confidence back. And when Drew Petrie's up and about like this, their forward line looks quite venomous. And that goes back to their form in their first half of the season when they won 9 straight games.
Well, it also means that you can, you know, if you've got a Jared Wade who's off the ground, but Drew Petrie is commanding that position again. Mm. It takes pressure off Benny Brown. He can play the second banana. If Drew Petrie is not in good form, it puts a lot of pressure on an injury plague Jared Waite. It means that Ben Brown's got to step up more. So he's so critical to their forward 50.
It's something about North is they're all their three tools, Waite, Brown and Petrie, are all present up on the lead type forwards. They love it. And I'm sure St Kilda worked it out but couldn't quite activate it last night. Play in front, play corridor side, send them to the boundary. Do not let them lead up the middle at all, is the one there. From St Kilda's point of view, done for the finals. Yep. Gone, cooked, can't make it.
Don't think that's a bad result, B2.
No, it's not. They've still had a great, season.
Explain that, Brian, because you mentioned that last week about, St Kilda not getting ahead of themselves. Just explain why you think perhaps it might be best that they don't play finals.
Sometimes you can arrive a little bit too early. They wouldn't have expected to make the finals this year at the start of the year. And I think for their preparation and where they're at the moment, it's about learning the structure. It's not about – they don't need to be thinking about winning games. You know, the wins will come if they get the structure and the pressure acts right. Just reckon they don't need to be thinking right now about, finals and are we going to make it, because that'll take them away from their core values of, pressure and the way they're structuring the team. I think they are still very much in a learning sort of program, phase. Alan Richardson's got them there. And once he can trust them on a consistent basis that structure is going to stay solid for games, then I think they can start to look forward and ahead.
You know, what was interesting for me was Trent Dumont's job on Jack Stephen.
Yeah.
Shut him down and then the midfield cracked a bit, I thought. They didn't, midfield depth was sort of exposed a little bit, I thought, and that's why they're going after another big gun midfielder.
Raises the question about, manning players up and tagging them, basically. You saw a game yesterday down in Launceston. And you saw Sam Mitchell tagged by...
Sammy Kerridge.
By Kerridge.
Effectively.
Now, Bolton, Hawthorne, former midfield coach, former senior coach there. If he throws out the line and says, no, Mitchell needs to be tagged because he knows the dangerous activity that he can supply, surely that's a message for everyone else in the competition, isn't it?
Well, yes, I think so. But I also think that part of that, BT, is the fact that Carlton probably don't have the depth that other teams do. If you've got a really good midfield that bats deep, that have a number of good quality players, then you'll trust your system and your players to go head-to-head with a Sam Mitchell. But I also believe, Sam Mitchell has dominated the competition again this year. I still think your first position should always be, let's shut him down, nullify his impact, and then we've got supporting players around to win enough of our own ball.
I didn't mean to divert the conversation off St Kilda, but I did successfully. Hickey, now he was paid a free. Waite was the recipient of the free and kicked a goal and ultimately came off the ground with a hip injury. But it was the decision about taking the legs. Now, this was the third decision that night of taking the legs. The first two I didn't agree with. This one I probably did. This is what Alan Richardson had to say about it in the presser after the game.
We'll look to get a bit of clarity on the below-the-knees contact. That was costly tonight. I reckon we've shifted a bit as an industry, the way that's adjudicated at the minute. That was really designed to stop people getting their legs broken from someone that slid in from a fair way away, not someone who's desperately diving on the ball and happens to hit someone in the knee. And I reckon that probably needs a bit of a look at and a readjustment given the way it was introduced.
He's 100% right. There was no slide factor that he had last night. There was no moisture on the ground. There was no one sliding. As soon as they dived on the ball, they dived on the ball and they stayed on the ball. If the player was there and they cannoned into him at the same time, that was just through their desperation. I agree with him. I agree entirely with him.
It was for the Gary Rowan one where you dive
on the ball and then you continue to slide and you take the legs, or you deliberately take the legs before you dive on the ball.
Yeah, I liked the free kick. I disagree a bit. I don't know what you think, Schwatter, but I thought he jumped on the ball, but then the momentum still carried him through the lower part of Jared Waite's legs, and that's that broken leg concern that you have. And Jared Waite toppled over as he sort of came underneath him. So I think this will be an area that the AFL will have a look at the end of the year. But I still thought the free kick was there, Schwatter.
I actually didn't see the incident, but I did call the Collingwood game against West Coast, and there was two, possibly three similar decisions that all went the same way.
Blew the whistle?
Yep.
Yeah.
Free kick against, contact below the knees.
But it's, Brian, it's a very dangerous movement. You know, yeah, you're standing there and someone takes your legs out from underneath. Why wouldn't that be a free kick?
No, but if you're diving down onto the ball.
But if the ball's there or not, isn't it regardless?
It was for the slide. As Alan Richardson pointed out in that conversation, it was about the slide. There was no slide. It was dive on the ball.
And a roll.
And dead still. Mm. There was no...
No, there was a small tumble.
There was no slide. You know, you're allowed a tumble in footy.
Well, there was a roll.
You know, you say, and not criticising you, Jay-Z, but you say it's a dangerous thing to do. We've had one serious broken leg and we change a rule.
That's right.
You know, considering how many times that situation, there's the ball, here's two players, they come collide.
That's what Darce said last night on Channel 7. He thought that it was the greatest overreaction to a broken leg to change the rules. And I think he's 100% right.
I agree.
Guess what? We haven't had a broken leg since. Mm. And it's still happening.
What about...
According to you, Jason.
Question. Well, I just saw... Brian, what did you see the Jed Anderson bump on Nick Riewoldt? Question without notice.
Yes.
But he looked sort of stunned. I sat up in my chair and I thought, oh, concussion.
Well,
and
my immediate thing was...
He looked a little dazed.
I thought he did look a little dazed. And I thought, has he made contact with the head? Then we rolled in three or four different angle replays. And we couldn't get an angle that showed clear contact with the head. Now, unless there's been an angle found since, I say he didn't make contact with the head, or there was no clear evidence that he made contact with it. Riewoldt got up straight away and played on, you know. But initially I thought, is he staging for the free? Is he looking for free? So there could have been a little bit of that in it.
It's just that reaction, you know, when the players like him have had a few concussions and they get up and it sort of looks like they just, for a couple of seconds, don't know where they are.
But guess what? If I come over to you now...
I'm out!
And I put my hip and shoulder into you and don't make contact with the head, right? Don't make contact with the head. You are going to be stunned because I have a distinct disliking for you and I am going to hurt you and I'm going to bump into you.
And Jay-Z, that is going to stun you.
Yeah.
And I reckon he got caught off guard. I don't reckon he knew Jed Anderson was coming.
Lucky we've got Schwatter in between us.
Oh, no, I'm right behind BT. BT doesn't knock you out. I'm coming over the top.
Hey, just finally on the game last night, St Kilda and North Melbourne as well. North Melbourne, 23-point winners in the end. What a crowd. 44,287, the highest ever crowd between these two sides in a non-final at that venue. I reckon they came pretty late into that game. They're thinking, gee, this is great. It was a great night. It really was. 44,000. So only 5,000 off being chockers.
Well, what happens with Boomer Harvey's ball, like the game ball from last night? What happens with that? Because did anyone know what happened where that went?
Well, I saw him get chaired off.
Yeah,
and
I
then
watching.
I think he realised he had to wave to the crowd. He had one hand to hang on to the shoulder and the other one to wave to the crowd.
Yep.
He couldn't wave to the crowd with the ball in his hand, so he threw the ball. I think he threw it to Lindsay Thomas. And then went through the guard of honour and off the ground. And I would imagine he would have got it back.
He's definitely got it, hasn't he?
He'd have all seven of them. Definitely have all seven. It was great stuff. Really good crowd. Well done to the crowd for turning up last night. It was a North Melbourne home game, and it's not something that they often do, North Melbourne people turn up to the game. So,
Brian, enough. They don't.
But
show some respect to that club and their supporters, please.
They did last night. The only thing I'll say about North Melbourne, I'll say four things.
Right.
Dogs, Hawks, Swans, GWS to come. How are they going to fare in those
four
games?
Not a problem.
Not a problem, Swatter?
They could win two, it would be a good result.
Yep, it would be.
I think they'll beat the Bulldogs.
Yep.
But I think the other three are going to be big challenges.
BT, when in your playing days, did you have a bad day against North, or does something go down with North that you need to tell
I love North.
Us about?
No, you don't.
I do.
That's absolute flat-out lie. Any chance you get of whacking that football club, this proud football club, the Pioneers of Friday Night Footy, you go to town on them, Brian. No, you don't.
I love it.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
Around the grounds.
Did they try? I think they maybe tried to trade for you or something went bad. Hey, yeah, Melbourne made a comeback. You've been right, Schwatter. Trailing by just the five points now.
And did I see Jesse Hogan just rubbing his knee there, Jay-Z?
Yeah, he slid, I think, maybe into the goalpost. Or he certainly slid towards the goal line. And he's a little bit ginger. I think he's going to be okay, Wayne.
Darcy Moore played a brilliant half of football from all reports.
He did, Brian. He
marking everything.
I mean, I watched his dad play footy. He's got some similarities with
boy, was there ever the marks I saw.
Yeah, just that big leap. He's got great hands. And the thing that I really enjoy about Darcy Moore, I feel like I'm sort of talking on behalf of Duck, who's not with us today, but his timing. He's got great timing. He knows when to leap for the ball. He knows the right position to get to, and he takes clean one-grab marks.
Very
he had
confident.
Two goals, too, in the opening half. He could have had five goals in the first half of footy, and then unfortunately went off with a hip issue.
Hamstring injury. Unfortunately for him, hasn't been nominated for the NAB Rising Star yet and won't be nominated for the NAB Rising Star.
He absolutely will be.
What do you mean?
Dollar one, Darcy Moore.
Hang on a minute.
Why wouldn't he be?
No, hang on. Hang on.
He was catching him like his dad.
Let's just state the facts.
Oh.
As of the moment, hasn't been nominated for NAB Rising Star.
No, certainly. Right? Which is crazy in itself.
So going into that game yesterday, hasn't been nominated.
No.
So yesterday he plays half a game and kicks two goals. He didn't kick 10, he kicked two.
He was
and
sitting on
the you're telling me that he's going to be nominated on the basis that he kicked two goals.
Did you see this man mark the ball? He's taking them like duck. He was sitting on players' heads. He looked absolutely
I'm
the best
him.
Player in the game.
I'm with him.
Okay.
He should have been nominated. He kicked five goals last year and didn't get a nomination.
So that means you're
if
saying,
they don't get him in tomorrow, then that's it. He can't be a nomination.
Oh, so there it is. Oh. If they don't get him in tomorrow, he won't be and can't be nominated.
Brian.
Because he'll be out injured.
There's a bit of...
So the whole thing is rigged.
No, I would never say that. But I think that there is a healthy debate in the footballing community.
I'd love you to have this conversation with Scott Pendlebury and Taylor Adams about... Who was deserving of the vote yesterday? Because when they read out the Brownlow votes from that game, it will read
Brownlow is different to the Rising Star.
Adams.
Yeah, no doubt. But the Brownlow is very different to the Rising Star.
But he wouldn't
star,
have been
Brian.
In their top five.
He was the most dominant forward on the ground until he went off.
As a key forward, you know, it is very tough. For these tall players, especially when they're young.
You guys get invited along to this lunch and you just
I
know,
don't.
You just know that everyone, they just want every kid nominated. It doesn't matter how well they play.
Very angry.
Well, on a serious note, he may be missing for 3 weeks with this hamstring.
Well, if that's the case, ice him, come back, get ready, big preseason.
He hasn't had a great year, Darcy. Let's be honest. He's shown flashes, I know. But I think, as Nathan Buckley has kept talking about, they've been looking for that forward mix. And maybe the midfield at times hasn't made it super easy for him. But I was really pleased with him because we saw what he can do. And otherwise, I think this year he's been a little bit below his best. But that's saying it's so hard for a young player.
Injuries have been an issue. But he's also played in the forward line when he has been available with a big beast of a man who's been struggling for his own form. If Trav Cloak was... Trav Cloak of 4 years ago, then Darcy Moore would be, his consistency would be improved because he wouldn't be the main banana.
Is he a future captain, BT, of this footy club, do you reckon?
Just looking up his possessions yesterday, apparently he's best on ground, according to you. 8 possessions he had.
Brian.
Not while he was on the ground.
He was the most dominant forward. Brian.
8.
Can you answer Jay-Z's question?
What's the question?
Jay?
Well, he was the dominant player on the ground while he was playing. And for that, Shifter Shan will be handing him the rising.
No, that wasn't your question. Your question was do you think that Darcy Moore is going to be a future captain?
Yeah, that one too.
I don't know whether he's going to be a future captain. He's going to be a future star.
Yep.
Well, I reckon he's got all the makings of a captain. I know Taylor Adams is the general there as well, but I think he can absolutely captain this footy
early
club.
Early crow, Joe.
I'm not sure
Very
he will.
Early crow, but, Joe.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm not sure that he will, but we'll leave it at that.
Can we talk about this game, BT? The midfield performance.
Which game?
The Collingwood West Coast.
Yeah, go on.
Collingwood's midfield, in terms of the stoppage battle, it was a really unusual one the past couple of weeks because their opposition has touched them up in the centre square department. But yesterday against West Coast, the Pies midfielders absolutely gave them a lesson.
Ferocious.
Was that the difference? They were
unbelievable yesterday, apart from a 15-minute period where West Coast dominated the second term. I love the performance of Brody Grundy. He's an old-fashioned ruckman. I actually think that we've seen an adjustment in the game in the last couple of years. We went through a stage where we had two alternating ruckmen. We've now got those lone ruckmen that love to do it for about 95% of the time. Brody Grundy was outstanding, competitive. He's aggressive. And I think the likes of Taylor Adams, who was super aggressive as well. Scotty Pendlebury had an outstanding game. I think he laid 11 tackles. And the boy Rupert Mills, in his debut game, laid 11 tackles. They were outstanding. And it was all built off the back of their aggression and
Josh
their pressure.
Smith.
Yep. Very good. Queensland. The kids were really good. Maynard and Marsh were really good. And, you know, I think in a disappointing year, BT, they'd be the things that Nathan Buckley would be focusing on. We've had some good wins. We had a really good win against the Giants a couple of weeks ago. We've had another good win against the West Coast Eagles. And that's the sort of platform that you launch off. It's just on the West Coast Eagles.
So they've bettered last year in terms of wins. They're 8 wins. No, they haven't. Sorry, they're... Hang on.
10, wasn't it?
They were 10 wins last year. They're on 8 wins this year. They've got Richmond Dogs, Gold Coast and Hawthorn. So they could probably win 2 more as a minimum.
And had shocking injuries.
Yeah.
The second worst injury run.
Yeah, you're right. Not bad, Swallow.
It has been pretty good. And I reckon West Coast...
Well, what is happening with them, Wayne?
Well, they can't play away from home. They're an 8-goal better team at home. And yet when they come on the... No, I don't think they are. They'll play finals, but they won't go far.
Did they pressure the Pies?
No. For 15 minutes they did in the second quarter. But I've had this view for the last couple of years. When things don't go right for West Coast, and Hawthorn is the yardstick here, but when things aren't going right, you see a Luke Hodge, a Mitchell, a Rioli, a Ruffhead when he was playing, a Lewis influence the contest. I don't see any really verbose on-field leaders from the West Coast Eagles. They miss Nick Natanui because I think that Brody Grundy was outstanding yesterday, but they just seem to accept what was dished up to them yesterday without that real aggressive leadership.
9 of their 12 players. Wins at the main stadium.
And that says it all. If they don't get a home final, which they probably won't or may not, then they're in all sorts of trouble.
So this is the key question, Brian. I want your very forthright answer on this. Mm. Is this a mental, psychological away from home thing, or are they simply not good enough?
I don't know. I'm not in there. My guess would be that they're not good enough.
Don't underestimate the travel factor. I mean, it's tough for these WA teams to travel as far as they do every second week, but the reality is they are 8 goals better off. That is fact. That is a statistical fact this year. 8 goals better off at home.
If you're obviously a good side, you win away.
Exactly. Yep.
You do win away as well. Fremantle won away when they were, you know, up and running a year ago. Yeah. They were winning on the road.
So I just remember when West Coast were up and about the past 2 years, they were manic at the ball and they pressured the opposition and they had the best press. It's once it went the forward line, it didn't get out, did it, ever?
No.
But it's coming out now.
Just a question without notice, nothing to do with what we're talking about, just before we go to the break. By the way, Ben Reid of Collingwood coming up in just a moment. Syndesmosis, ankle injury. Mm. I'd never heard of it before this year. And all of a sudden, it's become the new stiffiotis.
Osteitis pubis.
It's syndesmosis. Never heard of it. And all of a sudden, Libba, Mark Murphy, Mills. Was it Mills in Sydney or someone that Johnny Longmire mentioned hurt their ankle 2 or 3 weeks ago on that Thursday night game?
Get back to you.
All of a sudden, it's big. What's going on? My son's got it. My son's got the same thing.
Right. How long's he out for?
He's out minimum 6.
6 weeks.
And up to 10. Murphy's been out since May with this injury.
I wonder where they parked.
It's a shocker.
It's
the flesh between where the tib and the fib join the ankle bone.
Yep.
And
so that rips the flesh off the bone, is it?
Well, you can have a fracture above or below as well, and the flesh issue. And the flesh is the problem, apparently.
Is a young fellow in a moon boot?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd never heard of it.
How does he get on the lawnmower in a moon boot?
He doesn't.
He gets on the lawnmower because it's a ride-on. he tried me on by saying, "Dad, I can't mother. I've got a fucking ankle. I've got osteitis, syndesmosis. I've got osteitis pubis. I've got it all here. Can't do that." I said, "Mate, it's a seat. Sit in it. Turn the engine on. Push the clutch in and go."
Just got a text to BT from our friend Dr. Rowan White, absolute medical expert.
Oh, the
guru. Darcy Moore, school captain, Kerry Grammer, sport captain, first 18 captain, was excellent at all leadership roles. Good pedigree for Collingwood captain. Thank you, Doc. See, we stick together, Triple M.
But Doc,
leadership credentials.
Let's not forget what Doc is. And that is, he's a doctor. Right?
On your doc.
Yeah, on your doc. Syndesmosis, if you want to give us a ring, Doc. Why has it become popular? You guys certainly have trends. There's no doubt about that. Ben Reid's joining us now. We're just talking about Collingwood's good win yesterday against the West Coast Eagles, and he joins us on Triple M Footy this afternoon. Ben, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Travelling along okay now. The Pies, what have you won? 4 of your last 6, I think. Play the Tigers next week.
Yeah, I guess since the bye, we've had a real focus on finishing the year strong, and you know, when the bye came around, we were still a chance to make it and that sort of thing. The last 2 weeks before this weren't you know, were pretty disappointing, just having to lose. But yeah, look, as you said, 4 out of the last 6 has been good, and yeah, we think we're building something. And you know, the year hasn't been a total waste or anything like that. We've had some good young guys come through and play some pretty good footy.
Been excellent since the bye, I reckon. Ben, we were talking about Darcy Moore earlier. Just clear this up for BT, can you? Was he the best player on the field while he was sitting on blokes' heads throughout that first half? Just give us your take on the young man's performance.
It was pretty good to watch, just sitting back in the defensive half and just watching the ball go inside, and he plucked nearly everyone that went forward. So I would have thought up till half time, he was definitely the most important player on the field.
That actually wasn't the question. The question was, should he be nominated for the NAB Rising Star on the back of being best on ground? Right. He only played a half.
Ben, there's that question as well. What's your response to that?
Oh, I think Darcy deserves one no matter what, mate.
It doesn't matter no matter what. What about the little no claimer on the end? No matter what. In other words, give it to him no matter what.
Hey, Benny, I thought the pressure yesterday was just outstanding. Was that a focus going into the game? I think it was a game or club high most tackles you've ever had. It was ferocious, unrelenting all day, and really had an influence on what you're able to do with West Coast through the course of the game.
Yeah, we had a real focus on starting strong and bringing that presence, I suppose, early. The last two weeks, our first quarters haven't been too good at all. We've given up a lot of scores. So we really want to start. Oh, yes, and that obviously starts around the ball and in the contest. And to the boys' credit, off of the mids are fantastic yesterday. It's the best they've been for a few weeks now. And, you know, hopefully I can keep that up.
What about the captain, Ben? Because earlier in the year, Mick McGowan said Scott Pendlebury should have the captaincy taken off him. Reckon he's been absolutely outstanding this year with a rib problem early on, all-Australian team, I think. Just give us your take on his leadership since the bye and you know, his performance this year.
Oh, he's great, Pendles. The way he rallies the guys during the week, and you know, you just got to, and the stuff he does during the week to make boys, you know, look at him and say, sort of follow me, this is what we're doing, has been second to none this year. And I think he's taken leaps again in the way he's captained the footy club this year. I mean, it's been a tough year, and he's been able to stand up and still play good footy and also spread that leadership across the group as well. So, look, Pendles has been fantastic, and I think he'll only just keep getting better and better as he captains more games.
I read an article in a paper a couple of weeks back written by AMJ Clark here, Reedy, and I see that you're doing a bit of Cinderella osmosis type work.
Getting ready for Swan Lake.
That's yes. So is this just about stretching and elongating the muscles?
That's a lot of hard work, Brian. Go on, Reedy.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's not doing pirouettes or anything like that at training and that sort of thing. It's more, muscle activation and being, you know, in positions where you're vulnerable and that sort of thing, being able to hold those positions. And just a lot of, I suppose, isometric work with your muscles and all that sort of thing. And
so who's doing that with you?
Oh, there's a few of us. Benny Sinclair's obviously had a few hamstring problems. He's been doing it. Darcy Moore's been doing a fair bit of it.
And the coach, who's the coach?
Paula. Yeah, Paula's the coach, and she's sort of done a bit. She's done a fair bit of work with the Australian Ballet,
right?
And it came from nowhere, really. It's sort of Bill Davern, our fitness guy, just, you know, after having a few setbacks, you know, obviously what we were doing wasn't working, so it was more to just, you know, try something different, and so tried it, and it's been working well, but it's something that I'll have to continue to do for the rest of my career. But look, I'm enjoying it.
This is something that's been around for a while. I remember Dennis Banks, leading up to the 1990 Premiership, did this. He was doing a few hamstrings and had a few muscle issues as well. Did a very, very similar thing.
And how tedious is it, Reedy? Like, how hard is this work, and how much respect do you have for the other dancers who are doing it with you at times?
Oh, it's hard work, no doubt. I mean, I probably spend, you know, up to 3 hours a week with Paula, just doing, you know, every second day, just things with her. And, you know, every now and then I go in to the centre where she works, and you just got to look around and see some of the things they do. And, you know, some of the stuff they do, I can't do and probably won't be able to. But they're strong. They're definitely strong. And it gives you appreciation for how hard they work.
And after possibly a little bit of resistance, Cloakie's doing it now too, isn't he, Reedy?
Yeah, Trav's jumped on board as well. I think for Trav it was more just to try something different and
his mobility.
Mobility and that sort of thing, and help him not that he doesn't, you know, help him get around the ground a bit more, I guess, and that sort of thing. But look, he's enjoying it as well, and I think he's improved his performance in the last few weeks as well.
Hey, Benny, when you go into the studio, do you have to get in the tights, pack yourself in and put the little shoes on and just really get into the role?
No, I don't, luckily. Otherwise, it'd be a pretty ugly sight, I reckon.
Reed, he says Schwatter who wears lycra every second day.
Hey, what about the, I see the marquee players for the Women's League. Collingwood picked up two marquee players, one of them, Moana Hope, is, you know, and they've been named, and now you're going to build the team around those two girls. Have you sighted the two girls around the club? Have they become permanent fixtures already or not?
I saw them walking around in there the other day. We haven't met them yet.
Oh, come on, Reddy, you'd go up and say hello.
I haven't personally, but they're walking around. We're in the middle of doing gym and that sort of thing, so they'll probably just get checking it out.
So they'll use all the same facilities that you guys are in?
Yeah, as far as I know. I'm not actually 100% sure, BT, but look, it'll be a good thing for the club, and it's obviously exciting for women's footy, and obviously Daisy Pearce was a pioneer of it, so it's been good.
We had Horst Longmire on before talking about your brother. When do you think he'll be back?
I'm not sure. I spoke to him last week, and he sort of said at the moment it's sort of, I guess, a day-by-day thing, and he's just got to see how he feels. I think he's aiming to maybe play next week or the week after, and I don't know if he'd have to come back through the knee full, but if he did, I suppose he has to play one or two games there and get back in. He's obviously got finals to look forward to, or they do as a club, so he's definitely trying his best to get back and play a role in September.
Ben, Collingwood fans want you to get in your brother's ear, to get him in black and white, to get him to Paula, to do the same ballet stuff, to build his own. Now, when are you going to do that? Have you sorted that out yet? A couple of texts?
I haven't sorted it out, but I'd love to play with him ideally, but it's a pretty hard thing to do these days. He's very happy up in Sydney and that sort of thing with his... He's got a missus up there. They live together and that sort of thing, so he's
really
in a nice place in Coogee, but... I'll be in his ear in the off-season, that sort of thing, for sure.
I think you've got a bit of a Romsey connection out that way. Didn't your dad play footy out that way?
Yeah, he played with Romsey. Dad grew up out there, and then obviously he went down to Bendigo for his teacher's college and got picked up by Melbourne, and he said he didn't want to play there because his brother was playing at Footscray, so they got the trade or whatever it was back then, the transfer, and went to the Bulldogs.
Well, well done yesterday, and you're playing well. Your team's back in shape and playing some good footy as well. Good luck for the remaining four games, Ben.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Benny Reed joining us from the Collingwood Football Club. We are going to have a chat now with, one of the stars of GWS, and aren't they performing incredibly well in the lead-up to the final, Swatter? Three in a row they've got together.
Brian. Unbelievable.
Magnificent. Phil Davis is a major part of that. He joins us online now. Phil, appreciate your time.
No dramas, guys. Thanks for having me.
Confidence be sky high, wouldn't it, Phil? Like you've won six out of your last seven and travelling along very, very nicely against a good and not-so-good competition.
Oh, I think we've definitely improved. Going into the bye, we played some good footy, and then obviously had a bit of a hiccup against Collingwood. But since then, I feel like we've been able to play some pretty good footy. And yes, that was very pleasing. I thought our defensive side of our game was pretty impressive. To only have 23 points scored against us was a credit to the team.
Phil, I think the running power of the midfield has been the big thing that has just taken the competition by storm. And Damien Hardwick said you're the hardest running midfield in the competition even yesterday. When did you feel this take place? And do you shake your head at the running power of that on-ball crew, in games sometimes?
Oh, it's definitely pretty enjoyable to watch from behind them when they get going. But the thing that probably doesn't quite get as much, I think our contested ball has improved enormously, which has enabled us to do so. We've got some great outside runners in Shiel and Kelly and Scully and Whitfield and the like. But the grunt of Stephen Canelio, Wardy and Griff have made a huge difference, and their ability to win the ball and get us first use and then spread from the stoppages sort of really set us up and get the ball in our forward half this year.
Hey, Phil, I think the other thing that the club has done really well, and I'd like to think that this is having a significant impact, not only on a week-by-week basis, but through the year and certainly during training, but the recruitment of Heath Shaw, Stevie Johnson, Callum Ward, Shane Mumford, Joel Patfull, Ryan Griffin, there's a couple of others as well, including yourself. the experience and the maturity that these players have brought to the club would seem, from the outside looking in, it's put you in a really good position on a week-by-week basis, and also what's going to happen later in the year.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially from the very start when, you know, Gubby Allen and Stephen Savani set up the list, they went really hard at getting a lot of first-round draft picks and stocking up on those. And, Cal Ward and Tom Scully were 20 and 21 when they were drafted, and myself was 21. And, you know, pretty inexperienced then. But, you know, as the group's matured, you know, we've obviously traded out some good players to get the likes of Heath Shaw and Shane Mumford and Ryan Griffin. And, you know, I've just added to every area. And I think, you know, Stevie Johnson last year was a great get in terms of being able to give us some experience to our forward line. That's probably an area where we've got a lot of talent, but experience has always been limited there. So, yeah, the club have done a great job in trading out players to get what we really need at the time. And, you know, obviously Heath Shaw and Shane Mumph and the like and Joel have been exceptional for the group. And, you know, a lot of those players got finals experience, and, you know, that'll hopefully hold us in good stead as the year goes on.
Phil, how much do you crave a finals game, you know, a finals berth? And are you confident that your young boys will stand up to the task?
Oh, no, I think it's extremely exciting. You know, to get 13 wins basically guarantees you, you know, a final. So, you know, that's obviously a bit away, but no doubt for our fans and the footy club and, you know, everyone involved, it's enormously satisfying to be able to qualify and get a chance to play when the footy really matters, you know. And I think, you know, great thing about finals footy is, you know, you've got to play a certain brand of footy to be successful, and that's hard contested footy. And, you know, I'm very confident that, you know, that our playing group, from the youngest player to the oldest player, are capable of playing that when we get the opportunity.
Crowds at Canberra have been sensational for you, Phil. And yesterday, I believe, a sold-out stadium again. I can't believe it. Like, you know, up in Sydney, you're struggling with the crowds. But here in Canberra, why have you done a lot of promotion in that area? What's happened?
Oh, Canberra is a really big part of our footy club. You know, we play four games a year, one NAB Cup game and three regular season games. And, you know, we get down into a lot of our community camps down here. And, you know, as you said, three of our last four premiership season matches there have been sold out, which has been fantastic. You know, being capped off yesterday with just under, I think it was about 30 people under 15,000, the biggest ever crowd for an AFL game in Canberra. So, you know, we're definitely making some headway there. We get great support. I think we've got about 4,000 members in Canberra as well. So, you know, it's definitely a place there. And, you know, we won every game there this year, which is also good. So it's a nice place to play footy for us.
They're going brilliantly, Swatter.
Oh, they are, BT. They are second on the ladder, two games behind Hawthorn and doing it nicely. Appreciate you joining us, Phil. Good luck for the rest of the home and away. And then what comes after that?
Thanks, man.
It's all about to happen in the coaches' ranks, and when I say that, I mean the assistant coaches. And we've got the CEO of the AFL Coaches Association, Mark Brayshaw, joining us. Sticks, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Tomorrow is the cut-off day for the announcement of all assistant coaches to know whether they're going to be at the teams they currently are. Is that right?
Well, it's not quite as formal as that, but we, Spada, I think, put this in place years ago. There's an informal deadline being the 1st of August. So if an assistant coach is out of contract, there's roughly 3 months, well, in fact, there are technically 3 months to go before that contract expires. So the Coaches Association encourages, facilitates, sort of works behind the scenes to make sure there are meetings and commitments made one way or the other in the month of July, because come the 1st of August, the clock's ticking. So for those guys that don't get that rock-solid commitment, we then start to take the conversations to another level and assist them to find a new position and or hurry the clubs up. So, yeah, look, it is a mini deadline. It's the 18 clubs are respected, generally speaking. And, it's a stressful part of the year for probably a third of the coaches, most of whom have got 2-3 year deals.
As difficult as tomorrow might be, I imagine it's quite a nervous day for a lot of the guys. This is a good thing, though, isn't it, Mark? Because it allows these guys to plan for next year rather than, getting the axe in, say, late September or September and leaving them no time to secure another gig.
No question. Yes, that's very true. I reckon last year we had about 45 meetings in this month with that one agenda item of July, and there were about 18 or so, give or take, coaches who changed, and 9 left the industry for one reason or other. That includes Nick Mulhouse and James Hurd. So it's a time of year, it's volatile. So roughly 19 out of 20 coaches stay in coaching. And there's a handful that rotate, but you know, it's quite stressful for many of them, and it's an important role that we play. And in some, I remember talking to John Warfield about this, and he was very strong that mature, well-run clubs are able to say to some of their coaches, listen, we can't make a commitment to you yet. We understand you'll be, by necessity, looking around, and you know, go for, you do so with our blessing. So it's you know, it's an orderly process that's been in place for a few years now.
Hey, Sticks, what's the industry's response with regards to, okay, that coaches may not be getting a contract to go beyond their current year? And let's just say there's 8 teams that will come towards the end of August playing finals. That's the focus. And they're not ready to talk yet. What's the response with regards to those clubs?
Yeah, we can't really differentiate. So what do we say to a coach? If you haven't got a commitment by the end of July, you should assume you're not in work come the 1st of November. Whether or not your team's in the finals, it's academic. So our interest at that stage it narrows to the member, the individual coach. So in some cases, the clubs make it to the grand final, deep into the finals, and aren't prepared to make the commitment. But what we say to the coach is, you should assume that you will not be extended under these circumstances.
So,
and that gives you 3 months to get another job.
Sorry, Mark. Have you got any idea, just in numbers, well, you don't have to specify a club, but in numbers, right at this moment, how many aren't going to be renewed?
Well, I can only say, look, last year, as I mentioned a moment ago, we ended up, there were 9 who weren't either renewed or retained elsewhere, and I've got a feeling there was 18. So that's 27 coaches. And I'd imagine this year would be comparable. So in other words, 27 coaches either left the industry altogether or left their club.
And have you already got some notification or indication about some names, you know, are in that ring already, Mark?
Yep,
And you're talking to clubs about some of the guys who may be available?
So what we do next week is we send a communique to all the footy managers and all the senior coaches outlining those guys that are either interested in moving or haven't yet been committed to.
My email address, Mark, J-A-Y-D-I-G-S.
It's actually a very good service, Swatter, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it's fantastic that we've actually got this structure around the coaches. Hey, Sticks, do you work collaboratively with the managers of these respective coaches too?
Yeah, most of the assistant coaches don't have a manager, or some of them have, there's roughly 2 in 3 of our members are ex-players, so they might have a manager to call upon. Nearly all the senior coaches have got a manager, not all of them, but nearly. But in this case, we're sort of helping them in that regard. So most of them, I would say 3/4 of the assistant coaches don't have a manager, so we're able to give them some advice. And the advice is, it doesn't mean that you're not going to stay at your club, but you should not sit on your hands because, the clock's ticking and you've typically got a mortgage and a wife and so forth. Also, there's a lot of clubs. So you've got to remember, your audience is Victorian, but it's a challenge too for the non-Victorian clubs because there's a much bigger gene pool here, but, because there's 9 teams in Melbourne and 1 down in Geelong. It's a difficult conversation for those interstate clubs, but, without as many options. So there are some guys that want to go home or family for family reasons. So it's a pretty comprehensive process we go through, and it's bloody important.
Appreciate your time there. Mark Brayshaw, head of the AFL Coaches Association. Thanks, Mark.
Pleasure.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not quite sure what to think, but I guess we've got to ask the question of you guys. I mean, we've heard all the facts. We've heard from Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond. We've heard from Mark Brayshaw, the boss of the Coaches Association. So out of that, what do you think is going to happen at Richmond?
Well, I think there'd be changes and potentially more than just one. Mark Williams, I think we all love him, but there's been a question mark over the development at Richmond. Guys who necessarily haven't come on in leaps and bounds as we thought, probably Brandon Ellis, Reece Conker, Ty Vickery.
But I think there's 2 or 3 in that development role down there, isn't there? So it's not solely, I think.
Yeah, so I think the takeout and the jungle drums are beating that it's multiple changes. And if I'm a Richmond fan, I'd be wanting that. You want change. They're going backwards. They have to reassess. They'll be aggressive in doing that. I think Brendan Gale said that. But this won't only be happening at Richmond.
I think Collingwood, there'll be a couple of changes.
Really?
Yeah, I think there'll be 2 or 3 changes there as well.
At Collingwood. Yeah.
So I'm hearing, yeah.
Well, what did Sticks say then? Did he say up to about 27 or 30 changes?
27, 28.
It's a few.
Similar to last year, he said.
Gold Coast, a few whispers that there might be a couple of changes up there with Rocket Eats. So, it's nationwide. And it'd be a nervous day, wouldn't it, Schwatter?
It's similar to a player who's not getting, you know, the response that he's getting from his club, whether or not he's got a contract. I mean, this is the livelihood of people that work within the industry.
Doesn't mean they've done a bad job. It might mean in the case of a club that they're looking for a particular midfield coach instead of a defensive coach or whatever, or they're looking for a development coach instead of a line coach. So it just depends where you think your weakness is and what you're looking for, and then
the mix.
The Tigers, have they got full time recruiters? Are Blair Hartley and Francis?
I think Blair Hartley full-time? Is. I'm not sure Francis Jackson is.
I believe he is. Yeah, he's been the long time national recruiting chief for a while, so he picked Koch and Martin. He's been there for a long time. Francis. They've had a lot of success with their early picks. It's probably what's cost them is the picks in the 20s, 30s, 40s, where they haven't had the
players from other clubs as well.
Yeah, well, they've recycled. Well, that thing's failed, hasn't it?
Yep.
That's fallen over.
Yep.
They tried
served
to sort of shortcut
for a period of time, got them to a certain level, but they reached the ceiling.
You wonder, BT, whether they should have gone the whole hog at the start. You know, just brought in mass players through the draft, get as many early picks as they can, you know, rather than the Ivan Marek, et cetera. But anyway, all in hindsight.
Some of them have worked. Some of them, but have only, as Swatter says, only got them to a certain level, haven't got them.
I think there's 16 players out of contract. So I think we're looking at 10-plus cuts at the end of the year.
We've got a heap of other little issues to get through here. A bit of a whip, if you like, Jay-Z. You're the target of our focus here. The Hawks yesterday, 5 debutants in that game.
So that's the third most in the league.
Not in that game, but for the year, isn't it?
Yeah, against Carlton. So there's been 5. Blake Hardwick was the most recent. He was he came in for late withdrawal. Cyril Rioli. 5 makes him the third most in the league in that count. So Sydney and Brisbane have had more debutants, but I was surprised that Hawthorn was up there, and it just underlines what is actually happening, this transition period. Even as they shoot for a 4th straight flag, I think we've probably underrated just how much youth they're playing at the moment, and Cicely O'Brien playing very important key position roles. But you know what? Even 2 games clear on top of the ladder. When it comes to finals and the really big dance, Wayne Schwoss, will there still be a question mark over the Hawks because they have this youth in this team and they do play key roles? So can you still trust them as much, even though they've got the job done in the home and away season?
I think you absolutely trust them because they've got a system that when they bring in a young kid, he plays, he contributes, he does his job, well supported by a plethora of stars. I don't think there's any question. You just said it yourself. 2 games clear. They're 2 games clear. They've had key injuries. Jared Roughead has his personal battles. They've had other players. Luke Hodge missed a fair bit of footy. They've done a remarkably good job.
And in terms of the ageing top end side of Hawthorn, the big four, the oldies, when you sit 2 games clear on top of the ladder and you're the premiership favourite right now, how can anyone want any of them to retire? And why is there the push from us, the media, for some of them to retire? Well, I think if you're in 2 games clear on top of the ladder...
Well, are you pushing?
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
Absolutely
so
not.
So who is?
There was topical at the start of the year.
Why?
Well, because these are champions of the game and you want to know what direction Hawthorn's going to go. Of course, we speak of Hodge, Gibson, Burgoyne. Mitchell's already signed up for next year. So what are you saying, BT? Do you think it's just that they all go again?
I just think it's a furphy. When a side sitting 2 games clear on top of the ladder, premiership favourites, it vindicates that they should go on. And if they win the premiership, it vindicates that they should go on.
Well, that's the crossroad, because if they do win the flag 4 in a row, we're one of the absolute greatest teams of all time. Is that the exit? Is that, you know, that's what they
leave
on.
You get to the end of this year and you've got 4 underneath or in the cabinet,
you
want 5.
You want to be the all-time
really?
Record.
It might be a 6, because once I'm done, I'm done.
Yep.
So Hodgie's thinking... He's thinking
greatest team of all time.
No doubt.
The carrot.
Yeah, like, you know, no one's ever won 5 in a row. I reckon after they get the 4, if they get it, that would be a huge motivating thing for them.
Could they stay hungry for 5 in a row?
Who knows? That's the unanswered question.
Well, they're 2 games clear, top of the AFL heap, and this is possibly 4 in a row.
I'll tell you someone that won't be competing for the premiership this year, I don't think. I think the Dogs, too many injuries now, run out of quality soldiers. You can replace them with other soldiers, but they don't have the same aim.
They've been brave, haven't they?
Yep.
They've been unbelievable. They've had so many injuries to key players, structural players, Jay-Z. They continue to bounce back. What we saw on Friday night was probably the curtain call.
Yeah, I thought they were very good against Geelong, as you said. McRae, it could be a serious hamstring. So It's just not a 1 to 2 to 3 weeker. It's a 4 to 5 weeker. So that might be him for the rest of the year.
Sorry, go on.
And Tony Liberatore, it's the syndesmosis injury. Yep. And he may need surgery. Yep. Yeah, that's gone. That's what we think.
You know what it underlines, though, Jay? When teams that are successful, you need a really healthy dose of good luck. And unfortunately, the Bulldogs have had no luck this year. And hopefully next year is a better year for them where they don't have to contend with these type of injuries.
Yes. Lepich, Brisbane. What's going on?
I reckon he's absolutely gone. In full respect to him and Brisbane Lions, they were smashed last night by Port Adelaide. So they beat Essendon, and we think, hang on a second, maybe they can finish the year, you know, a little bit better and they can save his skin. They were shocking last night against Port Adelaide, and it's just the repeat lapses. Lepich in his press conference last night says it's embarrassing, you know, don't necessarily have the answers. He gone, Brian. He gone. They're going to get a new coach. I'm absolutely certain of that.
Really? Okay. Well, watch this space with that one. Geelong home final possibilities this year. We had a discussion on the Saturday rub yesterday with Damien Barrett, who refused to go and follow this up because he thought that it was already a done deal.
Cats to host a home final with half a stadium missing?
Against GWS. Now, we know it's under construction. You're right, half a stadium missed. I had a suspicion yesterday that they wouldn't get a home final based on the construction side. What do you think, Jay-Z?
We've spoken to the club, and they think a home final is probably unlikely at Simmons Stadium with the redevelopment. That's the key issue.
What about the AFL? Did you speak to them?
I spoke to them, and they said we haven't made a formal decision.
So you and Damo are at loggerheads over this. You disagree with each other?
I think only GWS is the chance, but I still think it's unlikely.
An outside chance.
Outside chance. Because it's 24,000 there, so I think even so, they'd be playing at Etihad more likely. But the club, don't think it's going to happen.
Get the headline press
out. Going with his bride.
Oh, boy.
Hey, what have you got any more, Brian?
Yes, I have.
Right,
Carlton, Casbolt Cripps.
Watched Casbolt pretty closely yesterday. It was a good effort from Carlton, but they're just not connecting with the forward line, and maybe because Levi's sort of won out as a main banana there. He needs some key forward support. Matty Cruz was very good yesterday.
Got to bring someone in from another club.
Yeah, Levi's uncontracted beyond this season. So hard to place a value on what he's actually worth at the moment. Is it 400 or is it 600?
O'Meara, Hibbard.
O'Meara, Carlton have met with his manager, Colin Young, and are interested in Jager O'Meara. So Gold Coast have got a 2-year deal on the table for him. It's unsigned at the moment. Blues are a big chance. Michael Hibbard from the Bombers, I think he is a certainty to go to Melbourne. Now, Demons fans, you can expect Michael Hibbard to be playing for your footy club next year.
Did you just say the question is whether or not Levi Casbolt's worth 400 or 600?
Yeah, what's he worth? They I think if you ask Levi's management, that they'd be thinking north of 500.
I'm not asking Levi's management. I'd be asking a football club, why are you thinking about paying Levi Casbolt anywhere beyond $400,000 right now?
He catches it like John Nichols.
That's half of the situation,
Jay. He hasn't been incredible in that area either this year.
No, he hasn't finished top 10 best
in fairest. You're going to get $500,000 or north of that. You want to be commanding that money by what you're putting up on the scoreboard.
There's a bit to go in that situation, I think.
Coleman medal race, All-Australian forward line looking pretty promising this year.
Well, there's three. There's Josh Kennedy, there's Lance Franklin, and there's Tommy Lynch. Maybe Josh Jenkins as well. So if you had to pick two of them, fellas, who's your full forward centre forward?
Name them again.
So Lance Franklin, Josh Kennedy. Mm-hmm. But what about Tom Lynch? Is he in the All Australian forward line?
Swatter?
Brian?
Well, Buddy is. Buddy's the best player in the comp.
Yeah.
Best forward in the comp.
So he's centre forward. Who's full forward?
Tommy Lynch, considering the year that Gold Coast have had, it's probably been a better year than Josh Kennedy, hasn't it?
Probably.
Now Kent and Kennedy on the bench.
Yep.
Okay. Well, they're the three for the the All Australian race.
Interesting. Indeed.
Yep. Hey, what have you done at the Kangaroos?
Well,
I've had three text messages in the space of 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's been a week of celebration, but you've thrown a hand grenade with a inflammatory,
wasn't a hand grenade,
provocative article.
There's
yesterday.
A story.
Why are you trying to single-handedly take this club down?
Well, Boomer Harmy's broke the record yesterday. Well done, Boomer. We've talked a lot about it, but Well, we found some more stuff in his book about tanking.
It went muckraking, did you?
Very provocative comments. Said it was the AFL's fault. And he said teams who tanked, their culture had been destroyed as a result. And it was no surprise to him that teams who had tanked had really struggled since. And he said the teams who have been accused of tanking, Melbourne, Richmond, Carlton. Richmond not happy at all to be named in that book. And so we, in regards to tanking, so Michael Warner and myself wrote the story, their back page of the Herald Sun. On his record-breaking day, North Melbourne thought that we spoiled the party, etc. Look, tanking's the ugliest word in footy. If you put it in your autobiography, Schwatter, then you could possibly expect that it will be mentioned. Otherwise, Brian, put your autobiography out when you've retired. And it'll just be all vanilla.
If you're not going to say something, Schwatter, don't write one.
Yeah, I know, bro.
So, I mean, it was the Wayne Carey comments issue. And now there was this one. Very.
Am I right in saying?
Hang on. So next week, in the lead up to the next North Melbourne, is there something else that we haven't heard that's going to come next week?
Well, the Dean Lavely chapter is interesting.
Am I right in saying that your colleague, Mickey Warner, was forcibly removed yesterday out of the Kangaroos' room?
Oh, rumour is he was threatened with being booted out of the Kangaroos' rooms because of this story. So we were just quoting Boomer in his own book. Aren't we allowed to do that, Brian? Like, if you put out a book, we're going to probably talk about the most interesting parts of it.
On the eve of the game's record game.
Oh, well, don't put out a book.
It's good stories only.
Yep. Hear, hear.
Oh, that's what I think.
Yep.
What do you think, Swatter?
I couldn't agree with you anymore.
That's what I think.
It was bad timing.
But I don't know. There's a
very provocative comment.
There's a want to go on the negative
Barrett
side all the time.
At war.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.